welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
It has been 84 years, but finally, we finally got something. But it was on Mini Direct, but I'll take it! I'll take it! It's something, and I'm satisfied. I'm really satisfied, but I don't know how the other Nintendo fans are doing out there right now.
Yeah, and again, Mini apparently means 30 minutes nowadays.
When I was a child, Mini only meant 5 to 7 minutes! What's wrong with you? You're spoiled! That's what you all are!
Oh yeah, and Talia Tyler is back.
Yes, I am back. And I am saying that my prediction of no Nintendo Directs ever again remains accurate. Because, listen, this was a Mini! You know, if we're not counting the Game Directs, we can't count this one.
No, we can't. I guess, technically we can't. Technically. Oh god. So yes, obviously the big news of the day, we finally got a Nintendo Direct .. Mini. And there was some .. games revealed, kind of, sort of, and release dates, and we're going to be talking all about that soon. But first, what have you been playing? I'm going to go first, because the last 2 weeks I have lamented the fact that I haven't been able to play anything. I mean, between work and a lot of other craziness going on, I've had no time to play everything. But after last week's podcast, I actually had an opening come up. And so I went and I played Pokemon. I played it for about an hour. Then a few days later, I played it for like another hour or so. And now I'm right near the end where I'm about to face Leon in the championship battle. And it just felt so good to be back in like Pokemon and everything. And so I'm gonna be enjoying that. And then after that, I'm going to be playing a certain demo that we will be talking about soon enough in Direct Talk. And then I still got Cindered Shadows to beat. So I'm hoping that this weekend, demo and Pokemon, I'll be able to start playing that, because I want to start my Silver Snow. Yeah, that one. So, and this will be perfect, because since I don't have any of the main characters in the Silver Snow run, I could just rely on my Cindered Shadows crew. Perfect! So, like I planned it. Not really. So, but I'm glad. And then, of course, I've been playing Heroes, stocking up on orbs, Tempest Trials and everything. Oh my gosh, I noticed a couple of weeks ago, but there are times when you sometimes just get like a new character in your party for whatever reason, and you're like, okay, this character's really powerful. Like that was my way with Eleonora when the Mirage Sessions crew came around. For the new Tempest Trials, I decided to put Idun, our Dark Dragon, in my party, and she a tank.
Yes,
she does 40 damage to like every enemy, even if it's type disadvantage. It's like, I don't like that she only moves once, you know, like one square up or whatever, but I work around that, and she saved my butt multiple times when I usually would have my whole team wiped out. So it's like, yeah, you good, girl. I don't care that you try to kill humanity.
Right, like, arguably that Idun is definitely one top tier tanker, especially now with the duo here of Faye and Idun. Arguably, like, I agree, she just takes everything. I'm just currently right now making her learn Aether right now, and yeah, just have her tank. She can take hits. She can definitely take hits. So aside from like Corrupted Tiki, I think Idun, Fade and Idun is definitely a very good unit current right now. They're definitely good tank units.
I also want to note that we have another case of and I didn't realize, I know this is like older because I haven't used Idun in the past, but I definitely want to address another episode of Fire Emblem Harem. Because if you talk with Idun, she goes, your hand is so warm. Can we just keep this going for a little while longer?
Todd, how dare you? How dare you something so lewd in this podcast? How dare you, good sir?
Yeah, I got him, Will.
Yeah, right. I learned from the best, Will. Nani?
Hey, you're the one who talked about hand-holding. That is the most lewdest thing you can talk about in a podcast like this. How dare you?
two words. Sengen Kagura. So, shut your mouth. Alright, moving on. Tyler, since you were gone last week, why don't you regale us with your weeks?
I have been playing a lot of Super Smash Bros. Because that's what I do when I'm with my family. I play a ridiculous amount of Super Smash Bros. And I am just now eagerly awaiting the next new character. I think that Hiro has cemented himself as my favorite fighter from Fighter Pass 1, which is funny because outside of Terry, he was probably the one I was least excited for upon seeing the reveal. But I love the way that that character fights, so wacky and unpredictable. So I played tons of that with my older brother and my younger brother. And then I've also been playing the NES classic, Dr. Mario, with my dad. My dad's a huge Dr. Mario fan, so we've been exchanging blows in that for a while. I am so bad at Dr. Mario, it's very frustrating. But, you know, maybe it'll help my snapsies continue to fire well into my 60s. As my dad just turned 60, so keeping his brain fresh with some puzzles.
Well,
For me, well, for like as we're trying to like get through this whole pandemic situation right now, for me, it's nothing really much changed. Basically, for me, it's just continuing stuck up on Fae with Tempest Trials, and also just recently we had the brace phase for the Mjolnir strike. So, kind of nice. And I gotta say, if you've got a healer, just put them out in front with the slow, just the staff and slow. That helps you so much. That's what I can recommend right now. But yes, pretty much the usual Fae. We did just get received a new resplendent hero. I think it was Embla. Yeah, Embla Sophia, which...
Random? Hello? I mean, Lynn, sure. Cordelia, awesome. Ike, obviously. Sophia, what?
Yeah, she's definitely the strange choice of anything else. okay... Arguably, Sophia is unfortunately kind of like one of the more weaker characters and not the lower tier characters out there. But, okay. It's your game, Intelligence Systems. But also, the next Resplendent Hero they also announced is going to be Azura. Yeah, Nifo Azura. Which, okay. Azura with Snow Kingdom. Why not? For me, just been playing on Overwatch. Finally finished up the challenges for this week. And... of course, no surprise, I've been continuing on with Neo 2. I'm currently up in the Twilight chapters right now, I think like the fifth chapter. And yeah, just gotta say, I just really love Neo 2. It's just so much fun. If you love your Samurai Dark Souls, then this is the game for you. Overall, it's nothing really much changed, honestly. Like, I actually have downloaded a certain demo as well from the Nintendo Direct. And yeah, there's also just one thing I'm just kind of sad right now, and like especially with this current situation right now, I really wish I invested in a Ring Fit Adventure right now.
Yeah,
because the only thing we can get right now of any physical activity from Nintendo right now, I don't want to break out my Wii U. I just want to get some physical activity, but no, all we have now is current arms to fall back on, which is kind of the ironic part. So if you don't have Ring Fit Adventure right now, you have to fall back on arms, which. Darn you, Nintendo, please restock on Ring Fit, please.
Alright, so we've delayed long enough, which is like a record for us. We talked about games for like minutes, so yay us! Alright, so, the long wait. We have finally gotten a new Nintendo Direct with announcements, with deals, with surprises. So it's time for some Direct Talk! Alright, and like we usually do, we're gonna hit this step by step by step as we get through the 30-minute mini direct, because that's a thing.
Yeah, the 30 minutes mini thing was like the icing on the weird cake for me.
Yeah.
That was just, that's not their normal mini.
It's not mini!
No, it's very close to being as long as they usually are.
Yeah, like I remember like when the first Nintendo mini came out, it was like 9 minutes, which was fine. It had like one big reveal on Chibi Robo. This is when I was on the 3DS, and they talked about like small updates to other things, or that one time we had that small Pokemon mini, remember?
Yeah.
And like they talked about, hey, Pokemon Tournament, hey, Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, hey, there is a Pokemon main title coming out for the Switch. That was mini. Done. 30 minutes is not mini. Moving on. So, obviously, they started out with, in my opinion, one of their bigger announcements. They showed a much larger, grander trailer for Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition, which will be coming out on May 29th, so we only got 2 months to wait, which isn't too bad in context. And not only do they re-showed the game and how beautiful it looks and blah, blah, blah. They have announced that for the first time ever, there is going to be an epilogue to called Xenoblade Chronicles Future Connected. It will indeed take place after the ending of the game where Shulk and one of his companions go to a new place on one of the Titans and explore and do various other things. It's not stated how long this epilogue is going to be, but given that they're actually doing it, I would be shocked if it's not like at least 5 hours or so. So, and this, of course, gives like not just newer players even more incentive to try out this game, but the older players who maybe don't want to try and hook up their Wii U or don't want to look at the rather inferior 3DS version, say, hey, here's another reason to go buy it again. So there you go.
It, like, just to expand on that, yeah, like the epilogue is basically exploring the Bionis' shoulder. Apparently, like, there is much more lore, which only got hinted in the prior trailers, and I think also in the base game as well. They only just hinted going to Bionis' shoulder. So apparently, like, now there you can actually explore this new area, which they only hinted in the original game. So yeah, like much more new content to explore. So for all old veterans, there probably is a good. This is a good opportunity to really just delve right back into it, just to find it. And I just wonder if how they're gonna do this. Like, I wonder if that if epilogue will be available in the beginning and for those who already have finished the game. I wonder.
Doubt it. I mean, how would that even work?
Well, like, because there and there is one game I actually know an example. Dark Hack Geo Trilogy, and basically, like, there is like a fourth epilogue chapter you can do. It'd be accessed right in front. And yes, like, there are certain games you can pretty much like just access the future content right then and there. So it's an option.
I don't think they'll do that just because it would be kind of weird. And then obviously I would bet that there's a lot of players who haven't played this game, such as us three King Nintendo attire. So we'll see. But yeah, Tyler, I know you had strong feelings on this.
Yeah, no, I mean, it looked visually impressive for sure. I've heard that one is very different from two, so I'm going to get this for sure. But a lot of people, Xenoblade fans on Twitter, are so passionate about Xenoblade, and that is great. But my timeline is filled with people who are like, oh, you know, this is the greatest thing of all times. It's still a remaster.
It is.
So it's limited in how exciting it is. You know, when this is the centerpiece of the Direct Mini, which I think we can say that it was.
Yeah, it was.
It, you know, that tells you, that tells me, at least in my opinion, that was a bad start. I'm glad that we have the release day for it. I'm glad that it's kind of soon. And again, I'm going to get it. But this one didn't shake me like it seemed to have shook some people.
I can agree with that. Well, you remember the story, like, not like the plot story, but the story about how we got Xenoblade in the first place, right?
You know, if you start telling the story, maybe it'll come back.
It was during the Wii age, and Japan was making a of RPG titles. One of them was by Monolith, and there was a Walker and another company, and none of these games were going to be coming to the U.S. And when the fans apparently found out about Xenoblade Chronicles and they really liked how it looked, they started Operation Rainfall.
Which was
a protest to get it over to America. And it worked. And not only that, we got the Last Story and Pandora's Tower, which obviously weren't as good, but still it was a big thing about getting good titles onto the Wii from third parties. And at this time, Monolith wasn't fully in Nintendo. And so it became like a cult classic RPG, which is why we got A, Shulk in Smash, and B, got the port onto the 3DS, because obviously it was like the best-selling game ever. So with the remaster, even though it isn't like the biggest thing ever, it's important because it's the first true full-on launch of the game that we've ever had, because the Wii version got like no buzz, but the fans brought it to life. So
right, it was fan generated, and like just the glow up, just like how everything looks so pretty compared to like the Wii U. Yeah, everything looks so pretty, but just the glow up of it all, just the models from Xenoblade Chronicles 2, and just put up here in the first game is just like, it looks amazing, honestly, and just like the models, the backgrounds, like of course Monado Boy is just so it looks very pretty. It's very pretty.
And as we noted in past podcasts, Tyler, every Xenoblade Chronicles is its own game. So they're not connected to each other at all outside of certain references and like similar titles like Titans and everything. But Xenoblade 1 does not connect to X or 2. Outside of the DLC where you can summon Shulk as a blade, that was it.
Right.
Shulk and Elma. Yeah,
Shulk and Elma. So, but yeah, like I'm just happy this isn't a later title. Like I honestly wasn't expecting it to be in May, but now that I think about it, this was their best move because now they have a big game coming out right before the E3 season, was supposed to be the E3 season tier, and now they can say, oh yeah. Just gave you Animal Crossing. We got news on that later. Here's Xenoblade, and now we have the rest of the year to fill out with all the other games. And for me, this kind of saved their sorry butts because, as I've been saying for months, we don't know what's coming out in 2020, and we still don't know what's coming out in 2020. But at least we know we have this in May, and then the next Direct, whenever it is, you know, August if we're lucky. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. But you know, they can say, oh yeah, now this Direct is about like June, July, August, September, October, November. So, here's hoping.
Yeah, from a certain perspective, I agree with that. That, you know, having this in May saved them. On the other hand, if they didn't have a game in May, you know, it would have just been Wii U levels of desolation for the start of 2020. Outside of Animal Crossing, obviously, but outside
you realize
of that
May hasn't had a title really in the last couple of years.
Yeah, well, I mean, the months are obviously pretty arbitrary. It's coming out probably May 29th,
yeah.
Right? So but they said even then it could be delayed because of the virus.
Very true.
We don't even know exactly when it is coming out.
And I honestly did appreciate them doing that.
Like, yeah, hey, I did too. I did
too. It's like, hey, we know we're telling you this, but we know that things can change because, as we noted, I think it was like last week or before that, Sakurai said that, you know, Nintendo's still operational right now. But should something change, that'll affect everything with Smash. So
right.
They're acknowledging that, and I appreciate it. All right, so next up was, honestly, in my opinion, one of the big surprises, despite some leaks saying that this could happen. We're going to get a series of 2K titles coming to the Switch. We're going to get Borderlands 1 and 2, not 3, but that now the option is open. We're going to get the entire BioShock collection. That's 1, 2, and Infinite. And then we're gonna get XCOM 2, which is a very beloved title. So that was actually kind of surprising for me because we've had a lot of developers bring in their titles late, and we'll get to some later ones. But getting these collections of some very fan beloved series, that's kind of cool.
It's a lot. Out of content, and like the fact that we're getting the Handsome Jack collection of Borderlands is like, yeah, that's out of content with all the DLCs. And if you love your looter shooters, then yeah, this game will Borderlands will keep you busy for hours, if not like the year to come. And of course, BioShock heavily, like definitely one of the more influential games of prior years. So now coming to Switch, heck, now you don't really have much of a chance to, yeah. No argument to you say you can't play, you didn't play BioShock. And of course, XCOM 2, which was previously hinted back then. I actually wrote the leaks from the games boards that, yeah, XCOM 2 finally is confirmed here. And yeah, if you love like Rayman Rabbit's Battle, if you love the tactical shooters, which is heavily brutal, then yeah, XCOM is definitely the game for you. So yeah, this is definitely a surprising part. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, for me, Borderlands I've played and I'm not that into. XCOM was like in the middle. I was like, okay, maybe, you know, if there's nothing, maybe. But the BioShock I was excited about. I've never played those games. And assuming the port is good, I'm definitely going to be picking those up. That was a good get. And it had been rumored for a while. So it was nice to see it kind of come to fruition.
I won't get these ones personally, but I know a lot of people that might. And again, this is just the Switch saying, hey, we can play these games too. And even though it's not Borderlands 3, give it a year, you never know. So, never know. All right, moving on to one of the news I appreciated, even though I'm probably not going to play it. We got the final look at first look at the final DLC for Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, Shadow of Doom. Pack, which will bring in the Fantastic Four and Doctor Doom in epilogue story content, which will include them not just fighting Doom, but fighting a Celestial. Because why the heck not? All right, and you Marvel fans know what I'm talking about. But and then Doom himself is apparently going to be a playable character because it's so why not? And all you Fantastic Four fans, you know this is definitely the pack for you because Fantastic Four has been shunned in Marvel games recently, but no more. Rejoice, rejoice in the glory of Doom. I mean, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3.
I felt that Marvel, the Fantastic Four, it was good to see them because of the rough patch that they've been through.
Yeah.
The past 20 years, more or less.
Oh, less, but specifically the Fox era, because Marvel canceled their comic, which was the longest running comic in the history of ever. Sorry, DC fans. And then, of course, when the movie came out, the three movies came out, the two decent ones and then the terrible one, you know, Marvel was just like, yeah, we're just going to put the Fantastic Four. They literally threw them into the multiverse. They're just like, hey, you guys going to be the protagonist of the story? Awesome. Then we're going to throw you away and not talk about you for like over a year. I'm like, what?
Yeah, those characters are underappreciated. I definitely...
They can be, yeah.
I like those characters.
I love, like, the current comic art, shout out to Dan Slott, good man. Like, it's really fun. Like, I've never read a Fantastic Four comic just because of circumstances, but when that one came back, and I'm like, oh yeah, I gotta try it, and they're doing really good, so. Anyway, but that one is available, it's available now or something, I don't know.
I think it was today, I believe.
So, but yeah, this is again the final one. Yeah, there you go, available now. And this is the following the Curse of the Vampire and the Dark Phoenix saga. So, go and enjoy that. And again, I don't say this about us, but don't listen to the review we posted on this website. That was posted by a heathen. All right. A person who did not understand the beauty and the glory that was Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, I would have given it a 4.5 out of 5, not the 2.5 crap that he gave it. Doom is ashamed of that person, and I don't think he's been heard from ever since. So, listen to me, listen to Doom, Dr. Doom, and just go enjoy the game. Go enjoy the game. And again, it sold over a million copies, so it's a success. So, yeah. Give me Marvel Ultimate Alliance 4, Nintendo, Marvel.
I guess he's you can say he will butt.
What?
Like, yeah, I think you'll probably say that person who reviewed this review on the site of he will burn, basically.
Oh, burn. Okay. Yeah. That was
I'm
terrible.
I'm just referencing one specialist from Marvel Alliance, Marvel vs. Capcom 3. I really love Doctor Doom. Style on that game. It's just fun.
Right. Okay, moving on. We got Animal Crossing, New Horizons. We are getting a new patch in April, which will bring in a new egg hunting event, which I'm sure all of you are excited for. And there's two things I really want to talk about in Animal Crossing. Not just the update, because that's, you know, pretty basic stuff. But we have some sales report data from various regions. We don't have the overall sales report, but if you recall what I said a few weeks back, I said that because of the hype and the coronavirus and everything that's going on with it, I felt that in the first week, Animal Crossing could sell 5 million units. And I think I might have hit the nail on the head on that one, because in the first 3 days in just Japan, it sold 1.88 million units, which makes this the fastest selling Switch game ever, more than Ultimate,
and
more than
also
Splatoon,
like,
more than Pokemon, all of it.
And yeah, last I checked as well, it also oversold all the previous entries combined as well.
Yes.
So this is the best-selling Animal Crossing series to date.
Yeah, and then when you jump over to the UK, while we don't have numbers, they revealed that they had sold an impressive amount of copies, beating all of their previous entries in the Animal Crossing series by a wide margin. I'm clicking on my article now so I can get you the exact numbers. And we don't even know the US numbers.
Oh,
here we go. In the UK, it was reported that it sold 3.5 times better than Animal Crossing New Leaf, which again sold over 8 million copies in its lifetime. So, and then the launch was better selling than all the Animal Crossing games combined. So just like Japan, UK is selling them out like hotcakes. And once you get the US numbers, which I'm sure there's a lot of Animal Crossing here in the States, I would bet that I'm really close to 5 million sold. So you're hosting right again.
I think we're probably past that point now. You know, like, I'm not sure you've been on any social media accounts. All I've been seeing is like virus, new Animal Crossing, cats, Animal Crossing. Like, it's pretty much everything we've been talking about right now.
Well, yeah, but you also gotta remember that we're still looking at a small sample size on Twitter compared to the world that is. You know, I mean, how many times have you seen like hype for movies? And then, like, it undersells. But it's like, oh, but they were trending all over. And, you know, people, I see all my timeline. Like, your timeline is small. Even if you're famous, your timeline is small compared to what's actually going on in the world. But your point is well made. It's just, I don't want to overshoot because I don't know. But you're right. My Twitter timeline, including my friends, the famous people I follow, they're Animal Crossing crazy right now. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, and that's a great prediction by you, Todd, because that's a really big number. Like, I didn't expect it to get... I expected it to do well, but, I mean, 5 million sounds ludicrous. And then you see what it's done. And given... I don't know if the virus has been a pro for Animal Crossing or a con for Animal Crossing. I honestly would lean towards it's more of a negative because people can't get out to the stores to buy the game. Like,
Hold on. We talked about this. You know, there are plenty of... Like, some certain stores are still considered essential, and, like, Walmart, certain, like, I have a place called Meijer that's, like a family-owned Walmart. They sell video games. And then, of course, you still got Amazon, Best Buy. They pick them up and deliver. Some stores still doing curbside service.
It's still far more challenging. Like, you can't – GameStop, I know they were open, but they've shut down. Like, you can't – It's harder than usual to go out and get games. And then there's just the fear, you know, people don't want to leave to go get the game. So I would think
true that.
Definitely like pro for people posting on social media about it, which maybe that generated more buzz, which generated more sales. I'm sure that there's, you know, it's a complicated thing, but 5 million point of the story, and 5 million is a lot.
And of course, naturally, you can all get it on the digital eShop right now. So I think there's a lot of people that's considering getting the game digitally instead of the physical copies.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably also another reason why.
Yeah, and it should be noted that both the UK and the Japanese numbers that I got were only the physical copies, not the digital. And I know a lot of people are doing digital for one reason or another, including potentially because of the coronavirus. So it's very safe to say that Japan's already well over 2 million. Even if the UK is just 1 million, all we would need is 2 million from the US, and we know we can do that. But yeah, props to you, Animal Crossing. I'm very happy for you. And another super major hit on the Switch. So, and we're just sitting here like, yay, go Animal Crossing people!
It is a real shame that none of us like Animal Crossing. I'm sure people are personally... what are they going to talk about their Animal Crossing towns and what have you been playing?
I mean, personally, for me, I'm kind of getting tempted to actually get Animal Crossing just because, like, again, I only played the original GameCube version, but just seeing everyone, especially going through the whole Tarantula Island, things like, it's like, do you want to go simulate life simulation and be old and dead?
I'm right there with you, Will. Like, I know I'm not going to like this game if I get it. But seeing everybody play it, it's just like, it's like Squidward looking out the window at SpongeBob and Patrick having a great time. Like, he knows if he goes outside, he's not going to have a good time. That's going to be me. If I go outside and try to get in on the secret box, I'm not going to enjoy it. I'm going to think, why did I waste my $60 on this? I knew I wasn't going to like it. But at the same time, being inside, looking out, it's like, I should probably grab this.
Is it bad if I said that's kind of how I feel with Pokemon right now?
No, I get that. I totally get that.
Oh, wait, what? Tribute is for those who fought and died in the Robot Pirate Island battle. Oh, wait, sorry, wrong episode. See, I know SpongeBob references. Still a stupid show.
Well, anyway. Okay, I listen. You just move on.
Let's move on.
I've listened. I can't, if I ever am in the same room as you, it's going to come to blows, but, you know.
Dude, I've been wanting to come to blows for you ever since Mario, all right? That was, like, episode one. So... just remember, I'm 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", with a fro, and I got a gut now because of all the great food my mom's been feeding me, so I could just sit on you and you'd be dead.
Yeah, that would be difficult. That would be a challenge. But I'm speedy though. You underestimate it. I'm like Mac. I'm like little Mac in that way.
Oh yeah. Well, never forget, as Death Battle proved, a better skilled fighter like Mario can beat a speedster like Sonic. Moving on. And next up we had, I'll let Will talk about this for like 30 seconds. We got confirmation of Catherine full body. Take it away, Will. 30 seconds. Go.
Okay, so basically, it's finally confirmed from the news that I wrote. And yeah, Catherine Full Body is finally out now. And like, this is great for people of Alice. So yeah, I sincerely recommend getting Catherine Full Body. It's just, again, another mature title for the Nintendo Switch. And I don't know, a lot of people just saying, this is the first baby step to getting Persona 5 for Nintendo Switch. Which, okay, temper your expectations, people. Temper it. I mean, it would not be a nice first baby step, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. So, but yeah, Catherine Full Body, great game, great puzzler, highly recommend it. So definitely get it for Switch.
32 seconds. I'm honestly impressed. So.
Well, of course, you don't want me to talk about Atlas.
No, I don't, honestly. And I gotta give it to you because you've been wanting this game for a while. So I was being benevolent as the host, but now we can move on to another.
Also, if you pre-order the game right now, you also get a Shiki keychain. So, yes.
Stop. I let you have your 30 seconds. Don't push it. All right, moving on to another one of the bigger surprises is Ring Fit Adventure, which is gonna get a rhythm game. Which will include songs from Super Mario Odyssey, Splatoon 2, and more. And this will indeed be like an exercise workout. Think of it like Just Dance, but with the Ring Fit Adventure. So, and this is a free update. It's available now. And so, yeah. And then there's some other slight tweaks. Like you can jog through obstacles instead of having to run through them and all that. So, if you are enjoying Wii Fit Adventure... They said Wii Fit. Ring Fit Adventure. I mean, if we're being honest, it really is. It is Wii Fit Adventure. So,
I like to go argue with that because Wii Fit is kind of more on the light side. Ring Fit is the blue.
Well, I was kidding.
And right. I just kind of find it very funny that, like, Nintendo, like, you want to advertise for Ring Fit, that's great enough for those who have it, but the fact that you have no low stock that we mentioned last week's podcast, like, allow us to get it first, especially in this pandemic, Nintendo, kind of bad timing there, I think.
Yeah, now more than ever, people need Ring Fit.
Yes.
Like, people like Todd.
Yes. I would totally do Ring Fit. I would. And here's a true story. There was a time, and it was actually after it was now kind of tainted memory, but that's another story, but I went to this wedding. And I did Just Dance for the first time. And I'm in a full-on suit doing Ring Fit Adventure. And I wasn't in a suit. I was in a leather jacket. But still, I looked awesome. Anyway, so I'm doing like hours and hours of Just Dance. And this was before I went out to my workout center for the Full Gear Challenge. And so what I would do is every night when it was like getting close to bed, I would turn on like some of my favorite songs from Just Dance. And I would... do the dances just to get a workout because you could really work out to those songs. And I enjoyed it for the longest time and then I stopped because I'm lazy. So I would do Ring Fit Adventure because this is my way, this could have been my way of doing a workout without having to go to the workout center. And now that the workout center is closed because of this coronavirus, I could have been saved, but now I'm still getting a gut. Oh well. Remember me when I was skinny. Moving on. All right, to the biggest announcement. Honestly, it's tied with Xenoblade. But the biggest announcement, which is Smash Brothers DLC. We have gotten confirmation that the first DLC character for Fighter Pack 2 is the character from ARMS. Yes, a character from ARMS. We don't know who. They just told us, "Hey, this is the game we're going to be picking from. Here's the roster, go and guess." So, a little odd, but given that this is a mini direct, you know, I guess it's par for the course. But yes, we can confirm it is indeed an ARMS character, which actually I just realized when the character comes out in June, which they also confirmed, it'll be the 2-year anniversary of the game. No, 3-year anniversary of the game. It came out in 2017. So there you go. 3 years, almost to the day, we're going to be getting an ARMS character in Smash Brothers. So that's pretty impressive.
It's definitely something. Okay, like, I get granted with the current situation, like, with everything stalling Sakurai, granted, like, we couldn't get any confirmed details, like, they just, not even a teaser of who it could be, not even, like, a silhouette, but, like, having
they showed a silhouette, it wouldn't have mattered, we would have been able to guess.
Well, I don't know. Remember in Fae, even some people didn't get it for the first time. But I digress.
It's arms. You can't fake that. I mean, with Fae, it's like, you know, they're positioned and everything. But with arms, it's you can't pass off King Mummy as Spring Man or Twin Tail as Ribbon Girl.
Hey, I mean, Sakurai sure pulled off Duck Hunt Dog as Banjo Kazooie. He can do it. He can do anything.
True. I mean, it's basically not who's that Pokemon, but sure, I get what you mean. I get what you mean. But yeah, it just raises a lot of questions regarding to, of course, we're going to, with, obviously, it probably won't be Spring Up just because he is Ancestral Void, but then there's also that the whole debate. We're going to spirit deconfirmations, but now we're having a confirmed character coming to Smash as a fighter. So just the speculation is just really rampant now.
And then, yeah. I'll let you get to it in a second.
Yeah,
they did let us know that the reason they're not showing it is that because of the very unique nature of ARMS characters, which is, of course, their spring-loaded appendages, it's taking a little while to, like, make it all work, which is actually something we talked on when we talked about whether an ARMS character could be in Smash, because, you know, that would be so fun, but it would be kind of hard to balance. So, you know, Sakurai being Sakurai, taking his time, making sure it works, and then letting us have the reveal trailer, so I can live with it.
Yeah, no, I ARMS in one way is like, oh duh, like before the game came out, I feel like we all thought there was going to be an ARMS character as one of the new base roster characters because it was a new franchise, and then there wasn't. And Springman, the main guy, is an assist trophy, so kind of assumed you just forgot about it, honestly. But in another way, it doesn't really fit because it's like, oh, you know, like Bayonetta in theory should have really fit because she's like a fighting character, she's fast, but her moves just don't quite fit in the Smash framework of knockback and percentages and all that. ARMS is similar, like that game's attacks are so slow moving. It's long range punches. I don't know how they're gonna try to, I don't know, work it. They could just go with a more traditional boxer moveset, but I don't think that's what Sakurai is going to end up doing here. He always goes true to form, so it'll be interesting to see how they pull it off. Maybe they'll be more grappler style characters because they're you can obviously do long range grabs and ARMS, so it'll be interesting to see how they pull it off.
And like, yeah, the only thing I could probably imagine, because again, mostly all of the characters use their feet. The only character in ARMS that uses their feet is Min Min, due to her backflips and all that. So
yeah,
that's kind of the strange thing. Like, is it gonna be Min Min? Because if I remember correctly, Min Min actually won the last big celebration events on ARMS last I remember. So
yeah.
It's just definitely that whole speculation. Is it gonna be Twin Tail? Is it gonna be Ninjara or even Ribbon Girl? Just that whole speculation of like, yeah, like, who can really fit in this moveset? Is the Final Smash going to be very similar a la Donkey Kong or Little Mac? I mean, of course, with the special in the original game. And yeah, it's just a lot of speculation right now. And of course, we'll get more information this coming June, which is supposed to be released. So I just can't help but wonder, like, who is it going to be? Or is it because something totally unexpected, like Little Bub, the announcer? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Ribbon Girl. But Twin Tail is probably my second highest suspect. I would think Lollipop the Clown would be really fun. She just doesn't. That's not a high enough profile character to be in Smash. I mean, Ribbon Girl's like the second poster child of the game, and Twin Tail was the most popular character. So I feel like it's one of those. And we haven't had a female rep, so it's time for a female.
Sure.
And then of course they could go like the total opposite way and do like King Mummy, where it's like, yeah, his punches are slow, but he's also a tank.
Yeah.
And that could work in its own way. There's options. And that's why they did the whole, hey, we're showing you the entire 15 character roster to show you that we got a lot of places we can go here.
Yeah.
So yeah, who knows?
I even feel like Max Brass could probably fit in as well, just because he really reminds me of similar to Captain Falcon in a sense.
Yeah. No, it was nice. Anytime you can get a chance to show off the ARMS character designs, I'm in favor of it.
Yeah.
And I think Min Min is a dark horse. Or not Min Min. I think Mechanica is a dark horse as well, because she has a built-in recovery with her.
So, and then again, this is good. It's going to be coming this June. And for those of you who still haven't played this game yet, there is a free version that you can play right now. And it's going to be available until like mid-April or something like that.
Yes.
So
yes.
Go and enjoy that. There you go. It's up until it's on now. It's available until 4/6. So go and enjoy. Be happy.
And also, if you have have time as well, do check out a review of the site from our own Tyler Kjellberg.
Yes, of course.
Worth noting, this pre-update DLC character. So just keep it in mind of that. So just keep it in mind.
You reviewed that one, Tyler?
How about that? I got a review plugged. Thanks, Will. That felt good.
I forgot that. I forgot you were the one who reviewed that. I honestly did.
Yep. What I gave it a 4? I think I gave it a 4.
I'll look it up. Oh, yeah, I remember now. I reviewed it for another website since you were doing it for Outer Haven. Now I remember. But still, that's good. Still waiting on that Celeste review, by the way. And I kid, kind of. All right, moving on. But still, good to see ARMS getting represented. For those of you haters out there, do recall that by September of 2018, it had sold over 2 million copies. And like within the first 3 or 4 weeks, it sold like 1.5 million, which if you really think about it, is quite a steep drop off. Okay.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about this, like, oh yeah, it sold like 1.5 million in like a month or so. And we're like, awesome. And then it was, you know, I looked it up and it said, oh, like, September 2018, it sold over 2 million copies. I'm like, that means it took over a year to sell another 500,000. So that's hype with drop off.
Yeah. I mean, it was a sneaky good game. It had two big problems, and the first one was it didn't have a ton of content, and the second one was Splatoon 2 came out like 3 weeks later, and
that was
obviously, I think that more than anything is what cut off the momentum for ARMS, because they appeal to a similar person, and Splatoon was the bigger brand.
Oh, absolutely. And if you, it's kind of ironic because when Splatoon came out, it too had a whole, you know, content problem. And then it was growing over time. So, much like with Splatoon 2, we expect more from ARMS 2. Whenever that comes out. And yeah, here it is. You gave it a 4 out of 5. So,
yep,
nice
yep.
job. Alright, moving on. We have a look. Load, dang you, load! Oh, here we go. It's a Bravely Default.
Mm-mm.
There we go. Yes, now I was honestly... If you recall when we found out about Bravely Default 2, it was like the only real Nintendo announcement of the Game Awards last year, and we were not happy. All right? And then this comes out, and I'm starting to warm up to the game. It looks a lot better now than it did before. Obviously, it's still not the most visually impressive RPG ever, but I like the look of it. It feels like an advanced form of Octopath, and then obviously Bravely Default was on the 3DS twice and very popular, so... battle system looks good, like the idea of the story so far. And to top it all off, we got a free demo available right now. So,
is this the mysterious demo that you were playing?
No, I'm going to be playing.
Oh.
Going to be playing.
Okay, yeah, me too. I was going to ask you your impressions. I, you know, loved the first two games. I'm very excited for this. I agree with you. The character models don't look great, and the... dude, a mercenary guy, not the main character, but the other dude in the party, his voice was rough.
Yeah.
That aside, I was very excited. I thought the art looked great, actually. Not, again, the character models I wasn't crazy about, but I liked the way they translated how the game looked on 3DS to Switch. It still has that almost storybook, like, you know, handcrafted appeal to it with the 3D, 2D kind of, like the 3DS, it did that game some favors, and I think in the towns especially, at the effects, it seems like they kind of kept that, so I'm excited for it. I love this one looks to be more of the same.
Yeah, I mean, just the fact, like, when you look at, like, I could have sworn, just freeze any frame in that trailer, and, like, especially in the town, I could have sworn everything would look like a 2D picture right then and there, and yeah, the fact you could just traverse Reddit and just transition to the Switch hardware is just like, wow. It's like it's very pretty. I mean, Square Enix has always been known to make pretty games. And like, yeah, the classes, the characters, like very, very inspired from the old Final Fantasy Tactics games. And like, there's also like one character that's just like really flashy. I'm just immediately reminded of like the antagonist from Final Fantasy 15, Arden Nizunia, just that whole hat and whole dress outfit. That thing looked Okay. Like, there's a lot of clear homages in this game from other Square Enix OP IPs. So, but yeah, I really want to try out this demo. I've heard nothing but good things about Bravely series. So,
Same.
I probably want to try. There's probably a good opportunity to find, see what the hubbub's about.
And then, not unlike Octopath Traveler, when you are done with the demo, they're asking for your help to improve the game, which is always nice to hear. And while we don't have the release date, it's more than likely like later in the year, which is fine because that gives them time to refine it. But it is still a 2020 title, and it's currently the biggest third-party exclusive coming to the Switch so far. So that's good. Hopefully, I'm not gonna demand it because I know that everything's going crazy right now. But I would ask all three of us to have tried the demo by next week. I would likely be the one that missed that deadline. But I'm going to try.
Yeah, I think I should be good because I am definitely excited.
All right, so moving on. Da-da-da. Oh yeah, tabletop classics. Nah, moving on. I know some people are happy about this, and that's fine. I dig it. Let's move on. All right, here's another surprise title from Gung Ho Online Entertainment. It's Ninjala, which, if you recall, was the action game I was talking about a few weeks ago from that leaked report about the battles in the sky between skyscrapers and everything. That's this game. So, and you could definitely feel the Splatoon vibes, but with a ninja feel, because everybody needs ninjas. Absolutely everybody. So, what are your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, the way I'm looking at it is like one, they're doing a whole, very heavy theme regarding to bu using the use of bubble gum. So like a little like okay, using bubble gums for powers for speed up and using different weapons like hammers, katanas. But the fact that you're using giant sticks, you can't have we cannot be having real blades. We can't be using having blood weapons. Just like a big stick, just whack them all at and like okay, this is like very toned down, but still has that cartoon violence, very a la Splatoon like. And the fact that there's also gonna be a free-to-play game from Gung Ho, so okay, it's gonna be free-to-play. I hopefully like how are they gonna deal with the microtransactions? Like, are they gonna be similar to Fortnite? And the fact that it's also made from Gung Ho is okay. They're solid. They're solid. But I do wonder like how they're gonna incorporate like the microtransactions in this game. That's one thing I'm always very watch out for.
Yeah, this game screams 7 out of 10 to me, and
Which is
like I
still a
don't,
good game.
yeah, no, it's, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it's not bad. It looks fun, but I don't know how fun it looks. Like, it seems it's free to play. It seems like a game that I will download for sure, and then I will play for like an hour, and I'll say this was kind of fun, and then I'll never play it again. That's just what it feels like to me. Maybe it'll surprise me and be like even better. I love the aesthetic. I thought the city looked really cool. The running on the walls, all that stuff, very, very cool. And you're right, of course, Todd. Splatoon is the obvious immediate comparison point. I don't expect this to be as entertaining as Splatoon, but it seemed decent.
Do we know if this is an exclusive title? Because it didn't say exclusive,
I don't
but it
think
feels
it's gonna
like it would be a Nintendo exclusive.
It does
No?
kind of feel like one, but I doubt it. It's free to play, so I'm sure they're trying to
I'm pretty sure it
widen
probably
it.
is like only a time exclusive, maybe, but like eventually they'll probably release it in the rest of the platforms. But I think they want to give present it in Nintendo Switch consoles as the first one because I think it just kind of matches with the aesthetic. I think maybe they want to try to capitalize on the whole Splatoon 2 market. Who knows?
And this one is available May 27th. Okay, because why not? It's 2 days before you played. And yeah, it will be again free to play. So enjoy that. Wrapping up, we had a whole bunch of reveals of third-party games coming out either soon or right now, including Panzer Dragoon, which is out right now, and it is a timed Switch exclusive. So go get. Dig.
Right. At the time of recording, right, our boss actually has written his impression piece of the game right now. And basically, if you love the original game back way back when, then yeah, this thing pretty much is a very good nostalgia trip. And also currently right now, they also just updated on their Twitter site. Like there will be gyro controls added in a later patch. So if you want to do with gyro control aiming, then yeah, it will be patched in down the line. But overall, if you like. like very Star Fox based, a real Star Fox game, then yeah, this game is definitely up your alley.
And then we got, of course, a Rolodex of other titles, from Trials of Mana to Elder Scrolls Blades, Warhammer 40,000 Mechanicus, Vigar, which beta to start. Let's see, we got a Saints Row Re-Elected. Oh, sorry, Saints Row 4 Re-Elected, which was fine. Third one was better. And, well, that was the game I worked on, so I can say that. Then we got a, Drill Man. Okay. Kind of, well, World Drill Tour.
Oh, that one. Yeah.
And, yeah, so there are games coming out. And then, to wrap up the Nintendo Direct, they dropped the announcement of more Pokemon information. Yeah, we weren't exactly happy about this one, and we'll talk about this overall, but we did get some small updates on Pokemon Sword and Shield Expansion Pass, including new looks at the dojo that you'll be going to on the Isle of Armor, and new looks at your Pokemon that you're going to get, and how you can actually choose the tower that you're going to evolve your Pokemon at, the Tower of Darkness or the Tower of Waters. And you can only choose one.
Hated that. I hated that so much.
I thought they said last time that one evolution was going to be in Sword and one evolution was going to be in Shield. Is that gone now? I don't know.
Yeah, that's like, one that I was confused by myself.
Like, there can be only one. We get it! I mean, yeah. I thought it was Virgin exclusive. Oh, gosh. Yeah, and then, oh, hey, we got a, like, blink and you'll miss it look at all of the special Dynamax evolutions or Dynamax forms of our three starter Pokemon, and it's like kind of there before. It's like, no, but we got the names of the attacks this time. Okay. Yeah, sure. Okay, boss. Whatever you say. And Inteleon still has a gun. That's good to know. Glad you didn't change that. Don't know how that gun actually works, but hey, Pokemon, what are you going to do? So, and then we got reconfirmation that the DLC is coming out in June. The first half of the DLC, Isle of Armor, is coming out. The Frozen Tundra, Crown Tundra, is coming out later in the year. So that's good to know. Oh, and hey, new outfits? Okay, because you have to accessorize.
I have to tell you something about the outfits. I have never skipped anything in a Nintendo Direct. Like, no matter how disinterested I am in the game, I always sit there and watch it. I skipped the part about the outfits. I skipped it. I was so bored of the Pokemon thing that I skipped the outfits. I don't know what they look like.
Fine. Basically, you could outfit as the chairman, as Marnie, and like all these different outfits. Like, okay, it's cosmetic, fine, it's nice if you want to. And of course, like the cosmetic thing for your battle card, I mean, fine, it's cosmetic wise, but it doesn't really add too much to the game aside from eye candy. And of course, there's the pre-order bonus. You can get Lance's outfit if you pre-purchase the game, which that's okay if you really are that heavy in Pokemon, but not really winning me over with this thing. So yeah, I mean, cosmetic wise, I mean, sure, it's dresses, it's nice, it's flashy, but I don't want to do that. I just want to get for the gameplay stuff. I mean, cosmetic wise, sure, it's just add more customization to your character, but do I want to be like Chairman? Do I want to be like Marnie? No, I just want to have like my own colored stuff. I just want to be unique, not just to be an imitator of another current existing character.
I will say that in Shield, I decided to branch out, and I actually gave my character a fully new look. Like, I had, like, bleach blonde hair when I started Shield, and I got rid of that, and I dyed my hair blue and got a really, like, out-there hairstyle, you know, kind of match my own look, which is fabulous, obviously. And then I found this absolutely gorgeous Arcanine shirt. It was, like, $35,000, and I had to wait for like so long because I had to, you know, keep the money because, you know, Pokeballs and potions and stuff are expensive. And I finally bought the shirt and I look so dang good. But even then, I don't care about this clothes because I got my look. Okay, my look is boss. I don't need your new outfits, Pokemon. So, but yeah, that was definitely a disappointing one. So, looking at this objectively, what do we think about this Nintendo Direct, and how would we rate it on a scale of 1 to 10? My personal thoughts were, I don't like how it was announced. It's like, oh yeah, here's a Nintendo Direct Mini. By the way, it's 30 minutes. It's like, uh-huh? So So that's automatic point off, because we like the hype. We believe in the hype, all right? I mean, you gave us a freaking announcement for the indie world, and you won't give us for an actual Nintendo Direct? So that's a minus a point. Big reveals, not really. I mean, we got key release dates with Xenoblade. I appreciate that. We did get the ARMS announcement, which is cool. I'm glad they didn't just ignore Smash Brothers. You know, the 2K reveals, those were interesting, I'm not gonna lie. But like the Pokemon stuff, okay, fine, whatever. You know, Ninjala, that's nice. It's not actually important though. It felt like it lacked the oomph of a first Nintendo Direct. Again, this did not answer the question of what we're getting the rest of the year. It answered what we're getting a lot right now, like demos and certain games that have already come out, and what we're getting in May, which is like 5 or 6 games, which is a lot in context. But, you know, it wasn't everything, and we still don't know what's coming like after June outside of Bravely. So I'll give it 7 out of 5. 7 out of 5. Yes! We're going over
140. How about that?
Yeah. So we're going over the top. All right. No, I'll give it a 7 out of 10. There we go.
For me, like, I'm pretty much in that similar bar as well. Like, there were some good moments here and there. I've definitely seen my Chronicles. I'm happy we're going to Captain Full Body, finally confirmed here. And of course, Bravely, ARMS, Smash Bros. Those are all nice things. Of course, there's also like they have things for the smaller game, like Good Job, which okay, wacky game, but it was nice. And then the Clubhouse games, 50 wide classic games, including like Mahjong, including the current version of Wii Play Tanks, which I really loved that game back in the Wii days. So I mean, it had its moments. And of course, like Ninja, Panzer Dragoon, fighting. But the fact that you end up off with Pokemon is like, okay, you begin with a bang and basically end with a whimper. And just kind of like, it just, didn't really have that much steam to go afterward. So it's basically Nintendo saying, like, we got something for you for, like, the rest of these, like, 3 months. But after that, we have nothing. We still have no idea what the heck we're going to go with until E3. So for me, I'm also pretty much in that similar range. But I'm going to give this one a 6 just because there are some good moments. Like, again, Ring Fit, continuing updating their games with Ring Fit and all that. And so there are some things. It's just like, it's not that similar, like blow up out of the water, or even like a solid thing, like even a new IP to like these, you know, even like Breath of the Wild of that sort. So, yes, for me, it's a 6 out of 10.
So, Todd said the key word being objectively. I'm gonna start being subjective.
Oh boy.
I didn't like this Direct Mini at all. Like, I'm giving for like my enjoyment. I'm giving it like a 3. I really didn't like it, and there wasn't anything really for me in it. Xenoblade was fine. The Smash reveal was weird because it wasn't a reveal, but it sort of was. I kind of wish they just didn't say anything, and then when we actually got the character, we'd be like, "Whoa, we're surprised now." Instead, we kind of know it's going to either be Quintel, Ribbon Girl, it's going to be one of 5 ARMS characters. It's not going to be Lollipop or the Django or whatever anyway, point aside, I thought a lot of the reveals were off, and I thought Pokemon looked far worse than what we saw originally in January. I don't know if you saw the map. That region looks tiny. It looks really small. It looks smaller than the wild area, which is very disappointing. And I know there's going to be another one that they said is bigger, but this looked really small. I was very disappointed, subjectively. Objectively, I would have to say I agree with you guys. Maybe I'm a little bit lower, 5, 6, somewhere in there. Because Nintendo this year, what this Direct told me was that we are pushing all of our cards on the table at the holiday season again. When the new consoles launch, we're going to bring our best games. We don't want to reveal them now. We want the hype train to build up in that 6-month period from the E3 area, because E3 is gone, rest in peace, all the way through to the holiday season. So I'm expecting the next Direct will take place in June, which stinks. Flatly, that stinks. Like, we've gotten minimal Nintendo content for the first 6 months of the year, which I think is poor scheduling, personally. But I expect that they kept their aces up their sleeves to blow us out of the water. And also, being objective, the whole coronavirus thing, yeah, that kind of puts everybody in a slightly bad mood. So maybe I'm a little harsh because I was looking for something to really lift my spirits, and this just was another kind of, for me. But yeah. Objectively, it wasn't that bad. Subjectively, I didn't like this. There wasn't anything really.
You're not wrong in that the coronavirus incident is like, I said like a few weeks ago, if anything can save us from this, it's Nintendo. Right. And I'll say that I was wrong on that one. You know, it wasn't what we needed.
I mean, in a way, Animal Crossing is providing that outlet for people. So if you know, half credit. I'll take a half credit.
You know, the millions and millions of people playing Animal Crossing. It's like, we're good. You know? It's like, and every one of them is like, oh my gosh, that Easter update, it's so adorable. I must find the eggs. I must find them. So, oh, I forgot to mention. Did you guys see that we have Deadpool in Animal Crossing?
Oh.
Okay. There is a character in Animal Crossing New Horizons that, for whatever reason, can see past the fourth wall. She's like, you don't get it. This is a video game. How can you not see? There's no way we're actually living on this island. All right. And she just, like, you talk to her and she just goes on this rant of, you know, what's really going on with Animal Crossing. And then eventually she, like, laments and goes, you know what? I wish I was like you. I kind of wish I had my own island to mold and shape how I wanted to. And it's like, okay. Yeah. All right. Sure. It's really out there. But I mean, like, it's Animal Crossing, so what are you gonna do? But it's like, who expected that? It's like, everything is alive. We're not real. This isn't a real island. Oh boy. All right. So, last piece of news. I know this isn't part of the direct, though. I wish it was. Because we still don't have any news on Bayonetta. But apparently, Platinum Games is getting ready to reveal the last part of the Platinum 4. If you recall, they said that they were going to announce 4 major announcements in the course of a few weeks and all that. They announced a Wonderful 101 Remastered, which was a huge success on Kickstarter. They announced Project Agogo, which is their first true solo title, like non-publisher title. They announced a brand new studio that they were making, which will help expand their, you know, base and allow them to make more games. And then the fourth entry is coming out. Wait for it. On April 1st. Because of course it is. Oh man, it's just like, here's what I'm expecting. I'm expecting to start a trailer. And for like the first minute, it's something you don't expect. It's like either a brand new title, a totally interesting like character, and, you know, and like for like a first minute, it's just like this total fake out. And then you either see like Bayonetta kill the guy, or you see like some other character just come out of nowhere and go, no, we're not talking about this game. We're talking about the other game that we're making. And they go, oh, okay. And then they cut to like this totally, you know, Platinum-esque trailer like they did with Astral Chain, or that they do with Bayonetta, or Beautiful Joe, you never know. And it's just like, yeah, that's the real announcement. I don't know, but...
No, what's going to happen April 1st, as you know, is April Fool's Day. It's going to open up with Bayonetta beating up some demons, we're all, oh, it's Bayonetta. And then Wonder Red is going to appear and say,
oh, gosh.
Wonderful 101 is adding yet another post-story chapter for the people who backed our Kickstarter. That's our announcement. And then we're all going to cry.
And then Bayonetta's like, but what about my game? Maybe next time.
Maybe next time.
I dig it. And it's like, and you're right, there is an April Fool's Day coming up, so I think we need to... start considering what our next tradition is going to be, if you get my drift. Oh, the fun that will be had. Oh boy, what do you think? Well, you are a platinum guru, for lack of a better term.
It's definitely going to be interesting what they're going to be announcing during that one day. All they could pick is going to be April 1st, April Fool's joke. So, like, is it going to be final news? We're going to have Bayonetta 3, or heck, even Bayonetta 4, or Project Agogo going to Beautiful Joe 3. They finally reconciled with Capcom, or heck, even Okami 2. Like, it's... Platinum Games has always been wacky, of course, with Kamiya, Ishushi Inaba, all the people involved in Platinum Games. They're known for its eccentricity, and, like, they don't hold anything down. So, they... it could be anything. Heck, even near coming to Switch for all I care. So I don't know. They can pretty much do anything they want, which it's gonna be kind of interesting.
It's gonna be so interesting, and it's like something like totally random, and like I was wrong. We were wrong.
I mean, again, it's definitely something to wonder about. You never know with them.
You want to know what I wonder about? And this is me being legit. Like today, like before the announcement of the thing, the Nintendo Direct Mini, and now after, I'm on Twitter right now because I wanted to look up something. I'm seeing like a whole bunch of Indie World Showcase ads. You guys been seeing this? Because it's on my phone, and I don't know if it's only on the phone or whatever. But I'm like, seriously, I've seen like four of these ads just today, and it's just of the Indie World Showcase that we just got last week. It says promoted by Nintendo of America.
Interesting.
I don't know what's going on.
I genuinely like the Indie World Showcase more than I like this Direct Mini. I thought the Indie World Showcase was pretty good.
Yeah, it was. It was very good.
For Indie World, because one, they kind of. They're a much more smaller team, and they're much more passionate regarding to certain things, even compared to Nintendo. So I think that's kind of the reason why a lot of people kind of prefer Indie World more better, because even we do have to wonder, even though we're Nintendo fans, we do have to wonder Nintendo, like, what are you doing? Do you really want our money or not? That's kind of
right.
A big question. Yeah.
All right. So, moving on to our main event. Because of the coronavirus, we are, as we've noted the last week or so, there's been a lot of things going on that, you know, kind of are expected, delays and setbacks and everything, and that's to be expected. But as has been noted the last few days, Nintendo is starting to have shipping issues and stocking issues with the Nintendo Switch. Like, they're not in stores, and this is causing scalpers to go crazy on the internet with, like, hey, if you want a Switch, you gotta pay me, you know, the X amount of money. And et cetera, et cetera. So we're going to discuss what the long-term effects of coronavirus is with Nintendo in a Nintendo discussion. All right, Will, so you're the one who really brought up this topic, so go ahead and just break down really everything that's going on right now.
Yeah, so basically, if very similar in the situation of the Ring of Adventure situation, Nintendo has basically tried to keep up with demand, but now it's basically very hard to find a Nintendo Switch right now. It's like I'm not sure to the point of being panicking, but people are trying to find Switches for Animal Crossing and all that, but now nobody can find it. And of course, naturally, capitalism and all that, it's allowing people to charge people exponential prices of you want a Switch, you gotta pay more than its MSRP price of $300. So naturally, this kind of deals free up to it. If you want to make a profit, fine, but the fact going through this kind of pandemic situation right now and everything is just, kind of make things a little bit tough as a consumer. These things is just not really good on the current market of things right now. I mean, again, people are trying to really profiteer off of toilet paper or hand sanitizers. Like, you want to do it, you got to do the same thing for video games and game consoles. It's not really a good image for you. But, I mean, again, for the sake of freaking all that. So, now that with this whole situation of, low stock shortage, people trying to struggle even just to make people happy is, but at the same time, do you want to support your fellow gamers? Or do you want to just make a quick buck just for the sake of your own greed? It brings up these kind of issues. It just kind of brings up the worst side of humanity, you know?
I mean, it's definitely a unique situation, and as many people from various industries, you know, we're seeing the effects of the coronavirus. You know, we're seeing the, like, all the movies of the summer already getting delayed, like Black Widow, Wonder Woman 1984 just got delayed, blah blah blah, and all that. So, you know, it's not surprising that the game industry is starting to be affected. And we were, like Tyler said, you know, you had to wonder if, you know, Animal Crossing sales have been affected because, you know, people can't always go to the stores that they want to go to and all that. And then, of course, there's the question of, you know, will people just buy digitally for the next few games just so they don't have to worry about going out? And now that it's like, you know, consoles are starting to sell out, especially the Switch, which is, of course, the hottest selling console of the last couple of years. You definitely have to wonder how this is going to affect people. I'm sure that Nintendo will work something out, but the fact is that there are a lot of countries, especially where they, you know, sell this, or that they make this stuff and they ship it out, where they're having, you know, key restrictions on these businesses because of the coronavirus. And the last thing you want is a warehouse full of people making, you know, an electronic product and then shipping out electronic products, which makes it a very easy thing to transmit. The coronavirus, because, you know, sweat and coughing and sneezing and everything. So it's definitely a unique situation. I think it will get resolved well enough, but it probably won't be unlike where we were with the Switch and even the Wii back in the day of it, you know, staggered releases of, you know, restocking. But then again, this also shows that, you know, people are wanting to buy the Switch because it's like, we need something to do. So, hey, right. We might as well.
Might as well buy
a game console that's really selling well.
Right. And I'm also just for reference on the price details right now. Currently on Amazon right now, the cheapest Nintendo Switch model is going to cost you $439. Currently, for the Switch Lite, is $230. While, and of course, they're also with the other people who are third party selling it. It could range up for almost up to $500, $480, or even $300. And of course, there's eBay, which is currently you could easily pay over $400. So, yeah, over to the point that the fact that it's just low stock and Nintendo's trying their best to like meet up with demand. But of course, naturally, with the current situation, things right now, like it's not making things easy, Sally. And of course, people want to make money and just trying to make profits in. It's just how the market goes, sadly. Like, if something affects the market to points like this virus, then you got to make ends meet. You got to hustle, sadly enough. That's the sad thing about capitalism. But again, you do what you can. You do what you have to, sadly.
Well, in China, obviously, factories were shut down for a while to stop the spread of the virus. So I'm sure that's affected the manufacturing. The big question I have is, with job loss being so prevalent now with the economic downturn, it seems like in the short term, people still have some money saved up, so they're going to buy Animal Crossing, they're going to buy a Switch that they can find. But if this thing drags on, people continue without an income for an extended period of time, and the government, I know they just signed off on $1,200 or something like that because they're taxing the money that they're giving you, which makes no sense. Anyway, people aren't going to have the disposable income that they used to have. So, you know, maybe in the short term, people are buying games to hunker down and just have something to do. I know I've bought a ton of books. I haven't read in forever, but I have a ton of books now that I'm just going to read while I'm quarantining. And people are doing that for games. But once the money runs out, that's when Nintendo's really going to find themselves in trouble, because China, the virus started there, so they're kind of ahead of us on this whole timeline. I know they're still dealing with it. But as their factories start to reopen, which is happening, the production should kind of be going once again. Be able to restock the stores, which that's one problem. But the other problem is the lack of disposable income, because, I mean, video games are going to be one of the first things people stop buying when they can no longer afford to buy things.
It's definitely going to like how people, I mean, of course, naturally mental health and all that, there's a factor there, but yeah, like the one thing is just really like, I'm just kind of reminded, as you said earlier, we're going through the whole Wii situation, like everywhere has been sold out, but thankfully it's not just because, again, that Nintendo didn't expect to sell out so quickly with the original Wii system. But now with Nintendo Switch, I mean, again, we all remember when the Switch initially released it. Everywhere was already sold out. It took a while before it could like meet up with its demand. And now with the whole pandemic situation, it's like, yeah, like Nintendo's definitely has something to deal with, and of course, like with the whole factory shutting down, it's gonna make things more for penny pinching. Definitely, definitely. But is it like regarding to what you said, Tyler? Is I do imagine it's definitely the factor of how long this is gonna be. Like some say it's gonna be probably like 2 weeks. We have no idea. Like we don't know how the like pandemic was gonna go on for a while and how much we had to do social distancing and quarantine ourselves. Like definitely, of course, a lot of people apply for the unemployment, and we need something to like basically ward off the depression, like keep us sane for the most part, or less crazy. So we're going to like Nintendo Switch users or any of the hobbies like with books, movies, and just holds this whole situation of like really making us like really hunker down. Like, of course, you see these different people's sides of humanity, and of course, going to like with Nintendo Switch stockings. It's yeah, you see these behaviors that you never expect on a normal daily situation. So that's kind of the thing that's eye-opening for most people.
It's definitely a weird situation. And then you throw in like the potential of like the stimulus package and what people are going to do with the $1,200 or so that they get. Mine's going to a car payment. I'm doing well enough. I mean, might as well just throw it at the car. Why not get it all paid off? But you know, some people are like, well, I got an extra $100. Why don't I just go buy a couple of Nintendo games? They might get an Animal Crossing or Mario Kart. Or, you know, hey, I've got the, now I can buy the Switch, and, you know, now they gotta go get one. So, it is, and you're not wrong, Tyler, the longer this goes, the weirder and more pronounced this gets. Like, and that's something we're also seeing in the movie industry, because, again, we're seeing all these big-name titles get delayed, and the further we're getting into the year, and the closer we're getting to, like, June and July, you know, we're gonna start seeing more impacts of that. So, it is a curious situation, and hopefully, by this time next month, we'll be talking about how things are starting to get back to normal. If we're lucky, I know that's probably me being optimistic. I mean, I do have a direct line to the president. Yes, you do, Todd. You do have a great line to a great president who is promising that by this time next week, disease will be gone. I'll guarantee you the disease will be gone, and you'll thank me, and I'll say, no, thank you. Vote for me in November. Perfect symmetry, totally easy plan. Let's get it done. And then Nintendo will make a game with me called You Got Trumped. It's perfect. it's gonna be a console exclusive for 90 minutes. That's just the way business works. So. And yes, that was improv. Thanks for asking. But you know. I'm hoping that in a month things will get better. Nintendo will have to figure things out. China, ironically, is actually starting to lighten things up because they've gotten their disease count down because of their lockdown procedures. Did you hear that, America? And, you know, it could start getting better, but we don't know. So Nintendo's going to have to endure. Not that they're not doing fine. I mean, if anything, and I was talking about this with a friend about the movie industry, you know, once we're all free and things get back to normal, we're going to start buying everything again. So if anything, if they have, like, let's just say a bad April and May or a lower one because of the shortages and everything, and by June-ish, everything gets back to normal, everyone's going to go back out and get Switches because it's like, we're free. Let's go spend our money. So,
yeah, ironically, not having any games come out for the next 2 months is helping Nintendo here, because yeah. I mean, imagine if there was a big Mario game coming out May 3rd, like, you know, that game could see a dip in sales, or, you know, they might have to push a release date because they can't ship the game to every state, you know, it's a whole thing.
Yeah. So, Animal Crossing got lucky because we've been already waiting for this, so people have already saved their money and all that, so, and right, it was still the beginning-ish of the shutdowns and all that, so, you know, that didn't hurt anything.
Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm. Yes. And also, I think, you brought up a good point, Tyler, because, Animal Crossing pretty much was the one that basically led the charge of game sales before this whole situation started. Yes, there was Animal Crossing, there's Doom Eternal, which released on the same day. And regards to the whole lack of games, I think there's pretty much, I think you're right that it worked in their favor. Because, again, like, at the end of March, it's going to be Persona 5 for all. Then in April is obviously the big kahuna of Final Fantasy VII Remake. So
it's going to get delayed, Will. Right. Why do you keep holding out hope? You know it's going to get delayed until Oblivion. And I don't mean the date, I mean like Elder Scrolls, that they're just going to throw it into oblivion and have you go and try and find it.
I mean, again, you never know with Square Enix. I mean, I admittingly, with Square Enix, you never know with them. I mean, heck, if they delay Bravely Default too, then yeah, that probably is a good deal. But yeah, I think Nintendo probably also like forecasted this and like, okay, like granted, it's gonna be hurt us. We don't have anything for the next 2 months, but we're gonna hold our cards to our chest for the time being right now. So yeah, that's that.
Do you think that's why they did this today? They're like, you know what, we could just announce it, but, you know, it's not going to be as big as they want, so let's just throw the mini out there and let's have them react.
Yeah.
I could see Nintendo doing that.
Well, again, we all know Nintendo, they always do Nintendo moves, and the fact, like, they throw us the freaking bone every single time we Nintendo fans yearned for a direct for almost, it feels like 84 years.
It's been 200 days. Like I saw, and it was last night, I saw a tweet saying it's been like 201 days since the last full Nintendo Direct, and I have a feeling this ticker is going to keep going, and I'm like, I'm right with you there, brother. And then like this happened and they go, oh, guess not.
So Nintendo, I think, yeah, like, and of course with that whole rumor that that's that same week Direct, the Indie Direct, and the current today's Mini Direct, it feels that Nintendo, like, they knew about the situation given the circumstances, even with the whole virus situation. So I think they knew they know what they're doing. At the same time, like, also trying to like really debate us regarding to the whole news thing, or like what they're gonna put in this direct, and like trying to make fans happy while at the same time, like, maybe be a little bit jerkish to us in this relationship. I don't know. So yeah,
the mysteries of life and Nintendo are eternal. That's why we probably won't be getting, you know, Metroid Prime 4 until 5.
Oh, here's a question for you guys. Did they give us the Outer Worlds release date?
Not yet.
Okay. Oh my god.
It got delayed on the Switch, I remember that, but yeah, it's still coming. It should still be coming this year.
Okay, good. Yeah, for some reason I thought it was early March. Maybe it was, and then it got delayed. But I was wondering if they had re-announced that during my kind of week of not being on the internet.
While we're wrapping up, I will look that up right now. Alright, so with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler, oh wait! We're in here! Jerk.
Yeah.
So. Oh, it's already out, Tyler.
For Switch?
Yeah, it's on March 6th.
What? Oh my goodness.
Because
I can confirm that because I'm seeing an ad for it on Target right now, and it's got a 4.5 review score out of 20. Yeah. That's weird.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. It's out of 5.
Yeah, it's currently out.
Like that. So apparently the Switch port is good. So yeah, go get it.
Okay. Yeah, that's a must.
Yeah. All right. Anyway,
you know what? It looks like it's TBD. Then you must be seeing an old article.
What?
Yeah, Wikipedia says it's TBD, so that means it's TBD.
I'm literally looking at it right now, Tyler. It says it's out right now.
Check the eShop.
But I'm going to Target. You know what? We're gonna end this right now. Because if it can say I can buy it, it means it's out right now. Bing, computer. Trying to build up the tension.
Wait. So would you owe me an apology?
I do owe you an apology, because it says pre-order now.
Yeah, it's also currently on GameStop as well.
Huh.
Yep.
I'm in a good mood today. What was I seeing? Because Target.
No, GameStop is not yet released yet. Never mind. It's released on GameStop.
Well, that's stupid, because I'm literally seeing an article saying, like, oh, it's coming out on March 6th, and now I'm looking at right to the right. It has a picture of the Outer Worlds Nintendo Switch. 655 reviews, which apparently, I guess, is for the main game? I don't know.
Hmm.
Dicks! All of them. Not you, Tyler. You were actually right this time. So, anyway, but yeah, I guess it is TBD. Oh, well. Anyway, but for this week's poll question, which we totally have to have, were you satisfied with the hashtag Nintendo Direct Mini? Put every hashtag variation of Nintendo Direct that you can, Tyler. I mean, like, everyone you can think of. All right, I want to get as many people talking about this as possible. A, yes, I was satisfied. It was okay. Did not like it at all. Very curious to see how this one turns out. Alright, and of course, let us know what you thought of the Nintendo Direct. Did you like the release date for Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition? Are you going to be playing the Bravely Default 2 demo? Are you happy that ARMS is getting represented as a character in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate? What about the other games that were shown? Were you happy about them? Do let us know, and we will talk to you next week. So, for Tellius Tyler and Wario Will, I am Triforce Tyler. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We've made it to the end of the level, so raise the flag!